Hello and welcome to Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, but also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. I'm your host, Alinka Tercic, and today I have a great guest, Fanny Snaith. Hey, Fanny.
Hello.
Hey, she's a money coach, and of course, we will be talking about the money stories, and about the financial freedom, something that we all strive to. So how do you define financial freedom?
Financial freedom, that I actually have my own way of defining financial freedom.
Right.
Which is, for me, it's about having total clarity around your current financial situation. I know so many people that when they go to bed at night, they put their head on the pillow and they worry so much about their money. But a lot of that worry comes through lack of clarity as to where they are. So my personal financial freedom is about having that clarity, that first step on the road to what other people call financial freedom, which I call financial independence.
Oh, wow.
Financial independence is when you are earning, you have enough money coming in from whichever revenue streams you happen to have, enough coming in to pay your expenses so that you don't actually have to go out to work.
Wow.
So there's two things. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. It's cool because I love this definition. And for me, financial freedom is, you know, like having everything, you know, going to a store, not looking at the prices and really having, you know, that availability of money and resources and everything. But yeah, you are right. We have to be clear where we stand.
Absolutely. The first place that people are stuck in is the money fog, I call it, whereby they know things aren't right. They know they don't feel happy around their money situation. They are probably assuming that things are really terrible. I know that people have, when they've actually got that financial clarity, that the picture isn't actually as bad as they think it is. There are other people where they get the clarity and they actually think, you know, maybe it looks a bit worse than it actually was. However, I have never known anybody not to feel empowered and more confident and in control when they actually have that first step of financial freedom, which is the understanding and the knowledge as to where they are, so that they can then make a choice to move forward.
Right, and it's so important. It's like going to a doctor and, you know, you have to know where you are, what's hurting, where you are bleeding or whatever. And I think that even myself,
I like that. That's really good.
That freedom and abundance and being wealthy and rich and having 1 million, and we will talk about that later. But, you know, really realizing where you are and that you are not maybe, you know, looking how far you've come instead of how far have you go.
Exactly.
Having already everything you can imagine and having more than you ever expected.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I know that you're a big follower of the law of attraction.
Yeah.
And I am too. And it's, you know, it's fascinating how if you believe that you are where you are with money and that's it, then that is it. That's what you will have. So just taking some time to just focus on that first step. There's an awful, I always seem to be a lot of F's when I talk about this. Focusing on the first step to build a firm financial foundation for your future.
Oh, wow.
is the clarity is being clear of saying, right, I am here and this is the path that I want to follow to get to my financial best. But you can't do that if you don't know where you are. You can't, I mean, what's the age old saying? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know where you are, you can't work out how to go where you want to get to.
Exactly. So how do you get this clarity? What are you talking about? Just listing down the, you know, your income, your expenses, your debt, or?
Okay. So in my opinion, to be financially successful, you need to have three things. Just, they're a really good start.
Just three.
just three things. You need to get the clarity,
right,
which I'll talk about in a minute. I will talk about in a minute. You need to understand your relationship with money, which is a massive big thing. And I mention this now because it's often number two, which prevents people getting the clarity. Okay. And then number three is having your goals and dreams and your values and your aspirations that you can then work towards. Finding that first financial clarity is taking the bull by the horns, and it is actually utilizing the practical skills that we were never taught at school.
Yeah.
So what we're asking is that you start tracking your spending, you start knowing how much money is coming in and knowing how much money is going out, and understanding the flow of the money between those two points. That's step one. So, you know, whether you get out a piece of paper and a pen, or whether you open a spreadsheet, or you download an app, or you just go online and you Google, how do I work out my spending, or how much money, you know, my money flow. I actually use something called a money map, which is a spreadsheet that I designed, which is a complete, I get very excited about this. It's a complete spreadsheet which houses everything that you could ever possibly need to be able to look after your finances.
Okay.
And I'm going to offer it to your listeners
for
free if they sign up to my newsletter.
And
I'm quite happy to give it to them for free, but we can talk about that in a bit.
Cool.
So that's the first step, is getting clear, is actually getting your pen and paper out and actually doing some figures, which I know for a lot of people is very tricky. But nobody's going to do that for you at the end of the day, which is why I said the three things, because the mindset, the relationship side is possibly the thing that comes first, is just getting a little bit understanding about where you are and how you feel about money.
Exactly. And if you see it, then you can identify where it's leaking. And, you know, oftentimes those coffees and snacks and things like that you really don't need, but, you know, they're so nice to have.
That's right. A handy tip for people. If you're one of those people that really doesn't like looking at your finances, or you find it very uncomfortable to do so, obviously, I would say try and focus on looking at your money mindset and your relationship with money, which I know we're going to talk about. But a really nifty trick is sit down with a piece of paper, and rather than looking at bank statements or anything like that, make it up. Just do a list of all the things that you think that you pay up at gas. How much do you think that is? Just put a figure in the box, or put a figure alongside it. It doesn't matter whether it's right or whether it's wrong. If you do that with that, how much do I spend on food every week? How much do I spend on clothes every month? Haircuts. How much do I spend at Boots, the chemist, or wherever you go shopping? How much do I spend on council tax, water? Just do the list and make up all the figures. Just make them up. Because by the time you've got to the end of it, I'm hoping that will have sparked a little bit of motivation within you to go, I wonder how much it really is.
Like curiosity. Yeah, that's a great trick.
Because it's a comparison then, isn't it? This is what I do with all my clients when we start off money mapping, as I call it. I don't like the budget word. I think it's a bit of an ugly word. It's not a nice word. So when we start money mapping, we make it up.
That's really cool. I would hate that because I have to know, but it's really a great start. But I'm naturally more systematic and cheats and things like that. So, you know, I would look it up. But yeah, my husband actually is the one who, you know, he doesn't spend much, but at the end of the day, you know, he's always without the money.
Okay.
And he honestly doesn't spend much on himself, but he's, you know, giving one daughter 10 euros and another daughter 10 euros and here and there, and then it's gone, and I'm the one, okay, tell me where you send it. But yeah, that's a great idea to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But you're mentioning money stories so much, and for me, although I understand that you have to know where you are, you know, the money stories are, you know, the basis of everything. You know, how we grew up with the money, what we learned about the money. And like you said, they don't teach this in school. So, you know, we get this in from different resources that are, you know, sometimes they are good and sometimes they are not that good.
You know, that our money stories, which are our lifetime experiences with money, but very much if we focus on our experiences with money as children, they will be the experiences and observations and emotions that are linked to those experiences and observations that will form what we call our financial blueprint. They are our real, well, I suppose there's no other word for it, really. The real blueprint, the design, the actual sort of like the way we are around money is determined by the kind of things that we experienced as children. And it's interesting in the fact that if we're receiving or if we have negative experiences and observations, that isn't really going to help us to be able to deal with or talk about or feel comfortable with money as adults. And if we have negative feelings or beliefs around money as adults, that's going to be a roadblock to us actually being able to practically manage our finances. Now, if you were to have a child that's had really positive experience around money as a child, of which there are some, not probably as many as there are negative, in my humble opinion, you will find that they will be the adults that are very happy and very comfortable talking about money, very happy and comfortable to be able to deal with money. So it's not really about ability. None of us are born with a natural ability on how to look after money. None of us are born financial geniuses. It's very much down to how we feel, believe, and behave around money as we're growing up through life. And if you think about it, every single thing that we buy, every single monetary transaction that we're involved with tells a story.
Yeah.
Every single one, whether it might be just buying some sweets at the sweet shop, which is just a small transaction that just comes into our life and is forgotten, or it might be a big ticket purchase. You know, it might be the first buying of a house or the buying of a very expensive pair of shoes that we've wanted for a long time. Or we might go and treat ourselves at a spa, or, you know, buying that first, well, when I was children, buying our first records, pieces of music, etc. So all of those add to our stories and are really, really important when considering how we treat money and behave around money as adults. And as a money coach, one of the things that I'm looking for when talking to my clients about their money stories is I'm looking for instances in their lives, significant instances in their lives, and they may not be significant to other people, but they'll be significant to them, that will then plant a seed of a belief which then triggers that emotion to come up again and again and will then form a pattern. If I give an example, say for instance, if I give an example, you see your parents fighting around money when you're a child, which is very common. So they've got two parents standing there fighting and the child's watching. It might not necessarily be happen that the child goes, okay, so I see my parents fighting around money. And it's just an instance. What will tend to happen is they'll go, oh, they're fighting. Oh, that's a bit scary. So fear will be lodged in the brain. And what will then happen is that when money comes up again and comes up again, the association between money and fear will come up and will link itself together. And that will repeat and repeat and repeat. And for those people who have had fear attached to money, by the time they get to adulthood, they will very often likely want to put their head in the sand and not have to deal with money at all. Because who wants to deal with something that they associate with fear?
Exactly.
The words that I have coming up when people are talking to me about money: fear, anxiety, guilt, shame, a feeling of never enoughness, a feeling of not being enough.
Yeah.
They talk to me of glass ceilings that they can't seem to get above a certain level or a certain place that they want to financially. And then there are lots and lots of people who just want to put their head in the sand and not want to deal with money at all. And all of those feelings and emotions will have come from instances in their childhood or in the early part of their lives that will create associations with those emotions and money, and will then come out as repeated negative beliefs and negative patterns of behavior that just don't serve them as adults, and hinder their chances of financial success. So my job is to work out what those are and then change them. Because that's the good point. They can be easily changed. Very easily changed.
So one thing is definitely identifying it, because I think that many of us don't see it. You know, like when you're talking to someone, they see it immediately, but you are so inside your story that you are justifying and
that's it.
You know, living it, that you don't see that it is hurting you actually. And then I think that it's really important to have someone that helps you get out and to see that it's not serving you anymore. So how do you do that?
Okay, so the first thing that I do, I studied money coaching through the Money Coaching Institute, which is a company in America. And it was run by a lady, founded by a lady called Deborah Price in 2000, I think in about 2000. And she was a financial advisor for many years. But what she realized was that people were coming to speak to her about their money. And it became very apparent that just taking their money and investing it for them wasn't actually solving their problems. And that she was working out that their money story and their, you know, their feelings around money were very important in their relationship with money. So she came up with 8 money archetypes.
Okay.
Which is, the archetypes are just fantastic characters who all have 8 different characters who all have totally different traits and behaviors around money. And what we can do is we can look at those 8 characters and we can associate our behavior with the archetypes. One of the archetypes is the fool. There's some that got quite brutal names. We've got the fool, the martyr, the tyrant, the victim, the innocent, the magician, creator, artist. I've forgotten one. Did I say the martyr? And the martyr.
Yeah.
And it's really important to remember that these archetypes are not who you are, but they're where you are. So I would start off by looking at somebody's money story. I would ask them to write quite a full money story going through chronologically through their lives. And I would be looking at experiences and the observations that they've had and looking for those patterns and then looking at the emotions that are associated with those behaviors. I would also be looking at inherited traits from parents and grandparents and other significant people during childhood. And what I do is I bring in all these feelings and emotions, and I've got a wonderful trick, which is a spreadsheet, which we call a money coaching pattern grid. And I throw it all in there and work out which are the most prevalent archetypes of this particular person at the moment. And remember that they change. It's a very dynamic thing. So when you start looking, when you become aware of the negative behaviors and patterns that you have, you can then change them. Because the thing is, you probably didn't even notice that you had them before.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, how many people do you hear go, "Oh, I'm rubbish with money"?
Yeah.
That's such a surface statement that really is, "I'm rubbish with money." Okay, well, what does that mean? Where does it come from? Is it something you like? Why has this happened? And how can we change it? And using all of those questions, I can then use the archetypes to say, well, through the experiences that you've had in childhood, you've got a very strong innocent. And the innocent archetype is the one who wants to put their head in the sand, the one that doesn't want to be dealing with it, the one that wants to find somebody who will rescue them, the one that wants to win the lottery. The one that is lacking possibly in trust with people. But essentially, happy-go-lucky on the outside, but just going, oh, this is really hard for me on the inside. Mm. Now, when I can say to somebody, you've got a really strong innocent archetype, they go, have I? And I go, yeah. And they go, yeah, I really, really recognize that. But what do I do now? What do I do? And I said, okay. So the next step would be to look at maybe one of the biggest challenges they had over money. So let's say, for instance, they were anxious about money. They suffered anxiety, which is very common. So what I would do is I would say, let's take this anxiety and let's work out what the opposite to feeling anxious is. And let's say being confident yeah. about money. And we would then work through very personal, small but significant steps for that person to move from the anxiety state to the confident state. So we would do that. Now, the person I was coaching, my client, would also then be aware that they do have a high innocent archetype. So during their everyday life, one, they will have a strategy on how to cope with the anxiety, but they would also be saying, oh my God, I feel like this, when something comes up. And then I would teach them to say, so which archetype's in the room at the moment? And they go, it's my innocent, come out to play. And I go, okay, so what would we like to do? I want to take my innocent and I want to put him right to the back over there and ask him to go to sleep. And I would like my warrior to come out and my magician, so I can start putting some positive behavior and feelings and emotions in place so that I can get through this particular.
So when we started, you said there are three things that are really major in the money. And the third one is having goals and having the vision for your money success. And I hear, when I work with my clients, I hear so many, I want to make $1 million. I want to make six figures. And I know that you experienced that, and I know that it's not about the money and it's not about the figure, it's what it is behind. But tell me about that.
Okay. So, and this is where money stories become so important, really. Have I got 2 minutes to share with you my money story in brief?
Yeah, we have a few minutes more.
Okay. So, my mum was married 3 times by the time I was 12, married and divorced 3 times by the time I was 12. And I believe all three of those marriages were based on money. My mother came from a very wealthy family, and my father came from just humble beginnings. His parents had a garage in London. And they got married, and soon after, my grandfather died and left my mum a pretty good fortune. Mum was like, yeah, let's go and have a party and let's go and buy some nice houses and nice cars. My dad was going, no, that's never going to work. We need to work it all out. And the money came between them and they split. So that was that. The second husband, I think, was a marriage of status. I think my mum thought he had more money than he actually did. And also he was quite abusive. So my mum's answer to that was to send me off to boarding school. Now, I knew I came from a wealthy family. I was very grateful for that. But when I got to boarding school, oh my goodness, there were some really, really wealthy people there. And actually I then became the pauper for the next 3 years. It was weird, really weird. That magic marriage ended. Then my mum decided that she was going to marry her bank manager. The fortune was going down quite significantly by this point. And she wrote us a letter, said, don't worry, darlings, I'm going to marry my bank manager. Everything's going to be fine. So she did. Within 18 months of the wedding, he had decided to take all of my mum's money and give it to an East End gangster. So we were left with £76. Now, that to me made me want to go, oh my God, this is just awful. I am never, ever going to rely on anybody for money apart from myself. And I am going to be financially successful all by myself. And I, for some reason, somewhere in my mind, I said, I'm going to be a millionaire. So over the next years, I started work at 12. I can put my hand on my heart and I can say I saved 10% of every single wage check that I got. best piece of advice ever. Okay, pay yourself first.
Yeah.
And I collected money. I collected money. That was it. I was just collecting it. And I didn't really know what I was going to do with it, but I was collecting it. So as the time went on and I was investing it and bought my first house quite young, etc., eventually I got to having £1 million. And it was really interesting. On the day that I had £1 million, I said to my husband, I said, "We've done it. We've got £1 million." And he looked at me and he went, "Well, it hasn't got anything to do with me." And I went, "Oh, okay," because he wasn't interested in money at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't change anything.
It doesn't. And I thought that what was going to happen is there were going to be bells and flags and whistles, and it was going to be amazing, and I was going to be rich, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I also realized that as I've been collecting all of this money, there was no joy. There'd been no joy in it. So soon after that, actually, that was when I decided to become a money coach. Because I couldn't stay as I was. I needed to change. I needed to work out what this relationship I had with money, which was quite frankly really not healthy. Yeah. And I also wanted to help other people to be able to collect money, but in a different way. So I knew that I was able to, I've been able to get myself wealthy. I wasn't earning a lot of money. Both my husband were earning less than £20,000 a year. So I knew that it was possible that by wise choices and focusing on your money, by God, I've been focusing on my money, probably a little bit too much, that you could get yourself wealthy from not earning a lot of money. But I wanted to be able to learn for myself how to enjoy money and how to be able to be a magician when it came to money, which is the archetype that we all want to be. And once I had got the basis of that, and don't get me wrong, I am not perfect when it comes to money under any, you know, under any situation. Most, I don't think anybody's really perfect when it comes to money, but I got a pretty good grasp on it now. And I really want to share that with people.
No, I love that, because I'm always telling people, you know, it's not about the number, it's what you can do with the money that you have.
That's right.
And one of the best exercises for me is, you know, just listing how much you need in terms of food, bills, and, you know, housing, and how much you want, like an extra, you know, three, better car, whatever you want.
Well, that's your first step to financial freedom.
Far away from a million or 10 million or whatever your number, you just, you know, catch it from a thin air, you know,
yeah. That million. I mean, one of the first figures to get to grips with, I think, is net worth, which is everything that you own, take away everything that you owe, and the bottom line figure. Yeah. And that's a really good figure to start with. Not only to have a figure of how much your life costs on a monthly basis, but also to have that bottom line figure of your net worth.
Cool. Okay, so when you were talking about the gift that you're giving us, and where can people subscribe to your newsletter, where can learn more from you?
Okay, so what I would suggest is for everybody to learn more about the archetypes. And you can find out which archetype or which couple of archetypes are running your money show today if you were to go to my website, which is www.fannysnaith.com. And on there, there's a money quiz. And I know everyone loves a quiz.
Yeah, and of course.
It's a whole load of words on the screen. And you just tick which words you feel about money. It's best not to do just a great brain dump, but really think about, focus on money when you're doing it and going, "Do I feel anxious? Yes or no?" If you're not sure, if you're in the middle, just take a guess. You can take the money quiz as many times as you like. And at the bottom, there is two checkboxes. There's one, would you like a free archetype consultation with me, which I'm more than happy to give, which is about a 30-minute chat where I can talk about your archetypes and maybe help you on the road to Well, to be able to get that financial clarity, that the first step to financial freedom. So I'm more than happy to do that. But also, I would today, if people sign up to my newsletter, and I don't bombard people with emails, I will send them the money map if they would like it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Okay. So you already gave us so many tips, but I usually ask my guests at the end, what's the one advice that you would give our audience, you know, at the end to leave our show with?
Okay, so to leave the show, it's going to be, you know, when sometimes you have those quiz things and it goes, do you feel like this? If yes, go this way. If no, go that way. Right, so I'm going to do one of those.
Okay.
Number one question. How do I feel when somebody wants to talk about money? If you feel comfortable and feel absolutely fine and feel happy in your skin and don't feel that you have any blocks, then go down to this one and say, are you managing your money well? Are you an excellent money manager? If the answer to that is no, I would really focus on the practical side and get the pen and pencil down and take that first step to financial freedom and get the clarity.
Right.
If you were to ask yourself that question, what is my relationship to money like? Do I feel uncomfortable, anxious, fear, guilty, shame, and any words like that? Then I would go off this way, first of all, and I would go and take the money quiz and have a look at the archetypes. And then think about your money story and try and work out where your patterns are. I'm more than happy to give a free archetype consultation, as I said.
Awesome.
But rather than forcing yourself to get the pen and paper out if you're feeling really uncomfortable about it, let's work out why you're feeling uncomfortable about it first and work on those changes. Because by just going straight to the practical level, you're just putting a plaster on something that's not going to go away.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we need to heal these things.
Understand it, what's behind and why you're doing it. So
that's right. And, you know, many of us, we need to be healed when it comes to money. We've had some really, really hard times when it comes to money. We've got some very, very interesting beliefs in there that could really do with ironing out.
Yeah. And at the end, it's just the number, just the paper, and we are putting so much value and pressure and emotions and everything in it.
That's right. I mean, money is an energy that needs to flow. And if there are blocks and obstacles in the way that's stopping that flow, we need to try and sort those out. It's a bit like a river, you know, and then it's all bogged up with sticks and mud and stones. To clear those away so that everything can start flowing like a big river.
Because awesome.
Yes, yeah, swap
Thank
the word
you,
money
Patty.
For energy.
It was really, you know, sweet talking to you. And I learned a lot about money. I hope our audience did too. And I definitely encourage everyone to look at their relationship with money and, you know, try to work it out, because we all deserve being rich and wealthy and abundant.
Definitely.
And it is definitely enough of it, you know, around us. We just have to
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, of course.
Apparently, there is enough money in the world for every single person on this planet to have $1 million.
Yeah.
So go for it, people.
Exactly. Go for it.
Go for it.
Okay. Awesome. This was another episode of Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators. I am your host, Alika Tercic. Hope you enjoyed it, and talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Alenka.